in October. Let's see what God is going to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18. I feel just a kind of a heavy burden on what needs to happen here today. And somehow I pray that God would help me to relay to you what I feel has been from Him, because it'll be life-changing if we can get it. I believe it'll be life-changing. I believe some of you have been, you've been operating not at your level of potential when it comes to prayer. And sometimes it's a mindset. We just have to realize who we are in Christ. We have to realize the power that's in prayer, that's available to us. We have to realize that we are a child of the King of Kings. And we have authority, and we have influence, and we have power through prayer. And so I hope that somehow today the Lord will help us, and that this will be transformational for somebody. And you'll leave this place today, and you're going to see prayers answered, and you're going to see things in your world change and be completely transformed through the power of prayer. Praise the Lord. I believe it. I believe it. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. Lord, I pray that you'd talk to us today. I pray that you'd help us to get a hold of this principle. I pray that you would transform our prayer life. Lord, help us to realize who we are in you. Help us to realize the power. Oh God, the power that we have available to us. Don't let it go to waste, Lord, but let us put it to work. I pray that you would move and minister and bless in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory and the praise and the honor right now. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. With the rise in popularity of social media outlets such as Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, especially even over the last decade, there is a new phenomenon that has come into being, that of the social media influencer. Influencers, the social media influencer. A social media influencer is a user who has a large audience, and they can persuade others to act, to buy, to follow, to join, based on their recommendations. An influencer on social media has the tools to attract many viewers or followers. And it can be anyone from a blogger to a celebrity to an online entrepreneur. And now, clothing lines and makeup brands and startup businesses and websites and other retailers will pay good money to have an influencer promote their product, knowing that that influencer will help them get the attention they need on social media for their product or their new release or their book or whatever it is. Influence. It's the power to cause an effect, to produce, to affect, to alter, to have an effect on someone or something. And we all like to have influence. We all enjoy having influence. Leadership is influence, someone once said. We like to influence things. We like to make things happen. We like to produce an effect, to cause things to happen. And there's a lot of people that are striving to be influences in our world. There's nothing wrong with that. Just be a positive influencer. Don't let your influence conflict with your walk with God, but let it go hand in hand. In fact, your influence ought to complement your walk with God. Even kids today, they grow up dreaming that they could one day be a social media influencer. From early ages, they go around recording themselves and others, and they go and buy GoPro cameras, and they record silly stunts, hoping that they'll get noticed. And people are willing to share just about anything on social media if they feel like it'll increase their following and get them attention. And it's all so that they could be an influencer. Some literally give their life to it. They're constantly attached to their phones. They're constantly checking their status and how many likes and how many views and how many shares and how many followers. And some are successful and some are not. Investing their lives into building an image of themselves that will hopefully increase their influence and maybe even make a little money for those at the top. But what's it really worth? This push to become influencers, it shows the temporal side of humanity. So concerned with things that are temporary, consumed with building a kingdom that is quickly going to pass away. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" What's it worth if millions of users follow your channel or your account? What if you can influence people to buy a certain brand or try a new product? What difference are you really making in things? Certainly not an internal one. And that brings us to our subject today, because I submit to us here that while the world is trying to, and they're vying to be social media influencers and branding themselves and building up their social media image all for temporary gain, while many are seeking this worldly influence, there is another opportunity today to build influence. It is a higher calling. It is something much more lasting. It is a higher place. In fact, this influence can be absolutely eternal, having an infinite impact. Those who seek this influence, they don't do it with pride, but it's with humility. And it isn't done on a social media platform, but seeking to gain a man's following, but rather this influence is achieved at an altar. This influence is achieved not with man, but instead they learn to influence heaven. And through prayer, common ordinary people can become the greatest influencers that there has ever been. Because through prayer, we can change our world. I want to tell you today that God has given us a gift. He has given us a wonderful treasure. And because we have the power of prayer, we can literally influence heaven to work in our behalf, to answer our need, to make a difference in our situation, and to literally change our world. You have that ability. I have that ability. Don't you dare think that you have no power, that you have no influence, that you have no strength. I want to tell you, God has given you the ability to transform your world, to change your life, to make an eternal impact on those around you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so today I preach to us on this subject, this very important subject, because we can all become influencers, not on social media, but influencers of heaven. Influencers of heaven. We read in Luke chapter 18, verse 2, that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city that came unto him, and she said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. This little widow might not have had much, but she had some influence because she was driving this judge crazy. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I've come to tell somebody here today that you have neglected your influence. You have been given the opportunity to influence heaven, to make an eternal difference through prayer. And the enemy has fought you so very hard because he knows your power. He knows that you have the opportunity to change your world. The enemy knows your influence. And the reason why he's been fighting you so very hard is he's trying his best to keep you distracted, to get you busy, to get you doing other things instead of praying. If he can get your attention elsewhere, rather on the very thing that could change your situation, then he has defeated you because your prayers have influence with heaven. I want to tell you, your prayer has the power to change things, to move mountains, to break down strongholds, to literally change hearts and minds. Amen. Your prayers have influence with heaven to see the impossible come to pass. Luke 18 and 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Sadly, it's often easier to faint than it is to pray. Prayer is not always an easy thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do. It's hard work to pray, but it requires no effort to faint. Prayer is active, fainting is passive. Prayer is rowing upstream against the current, fighting against the status quo. It's refusing to drift along easily with the flow. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Another translation says it like this: then he spake a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Can I just be real with us here today? People lose interest in prayer because they get tired, they get bored, because they don't think their prayers are going to be answered. They've prayed too many prayers, and it seems like nothing has changed. They've prayed too many times, and it seems like they're still in their situation. They don't think that their prayers will accomplish anything. I tell you, if you knew that your prayers would be answered, then it would change your world, and you'd be praying all day long, every day, because you would know. And I want to tell you today, your prayers do have that power. But I believe we just need a little shift in our mindset today. The enemy loves it when we lose heart. He loves it when we're discouraged. He loves it when we give up. He loves it when we don't pray, because he knows the power of prayer. And so what the enemy will do is he will put something in front of us that will discourage us. He'll put something in our thoughts that does not line up with what the Word of God says. And when God speaks to us and gives us a promise, and then we look at our situation, and all we can see in the flesh is the chaos that the enemy has created around us, and what we see does not match up with the Word of God, it's easy to lose heart. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to stop praying because we think our prayers are not having an effect. But we need to remember 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 today, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Just because you're not seeing an answer to your prayer yet, don't you dare lose heart. Men ought always to pray and not faint. You keep on praying because even though you may not see it, your prayers have influence with heaven. Your prayers are making a difference. Maybe you can't see the evidence in the natural realm yet, but in the spirit, I tell you, something is moving. Something is changing. There's something that is happening behind the scenes because your prayers have influence with heaven. And I want to tell you today, don't you know the enemy is picking up on that in the spirit realm? And he's doing everything he can to stop your prayers because he knows something is changing. That door is about to open. That miracle is about to come through. That blessing is about to happen. And the enemy says, oh, I've got to hold it back because it's about to have a breakthrough. I've got to hold them back because they're about to have a miracle. And he knows in the spirit that your prayers have influence. Somebody today, you've lost heart. You've given up. You've got tired. You've got bored with prayer. But I'm telling you, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on calling on the name of the Lord. Keep on standing on the word because your prayers are having influence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. James 5 and 16 tells us, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful. It's effective. It accomplishes much. It has great power. There's a calling of prayer going forth in this house today, and we need to hear this. You thought your prayers weren't having an effect. You thought it wasn't making a difference. And so instead of praying, you started to faint. You started to lose heart. But God has spoke to the heart of this pastor to tell somebody today, don't you give up. Don't you stop praying. Don't you lose heart. Don't you faint. We ought always to pray, and your prayers are having influence with heaven. Every great revival started in prayer. Every breakthrough in the New Testament church, it started in prayer. Jesus practiced the power of prayer. Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. A little later, the Bible says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken. When Peter was thrown in prison, what was it that made the difference? The church got to praying. It was at midnight that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Don't you believe the lies of the enemy? Your prayers have influence with heaven. Your prayers are making a difference. Your prayers are powerful. So what can we do to see more of our prayers answered? We need to understand more about the kingdom of God. Throughout the New Testament, it talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 6, 19, we read the Lord's Prayer, or we read the Lord's Prayer, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the United States of America, we often miss what this means about the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, I'm thankful for the United States of America. I'm thankful for this great country. Regardless of what some people want to say, I want to tell you this is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I know there's some things wrong with it, but I want to tell you, oh, there's so much more that's right. This is still the best thing going. I'm thankful for the freedom. I thank you. Thank you, God, for your blessings that have been on the United States of America. Amen. If you don't believe it, just look. Everybody's trying to get here. Everybody else is trying to get here. Can I don't like to get all political, but I want to tell you, just look, everybody wants to get here. They're not wanting to go there. God has allowed his favor and his blessings to shine on this country in such an overwhelming way. And I believe that the blessings of God upon our nation are so that we can fund revival around the world in the end time. In America, we teach independence. We celebrate freedom. We have rights and privileges. And thank God for the Constitution. Thank God for the Bill of Rights. I'm thankful for this freedom, religious freedom that we have. And thank God for protections for our citizens. You don't have those things in a kingdom. In a kingdom, the king decrees it, and it is so. In a kingdom, you don't have free speech. In a kingdom, if the king doesn't like it, you don't do it. Or you do it, and you're going to have to pay the consequences. In a kingdom, it's whatever the king says that goes. Now, when Jesus was before Pilate, he said in John 18:36, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And so as part of the kingdom of God, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Jesus was praying in John 17 and 14, and this was the man, Christ Jesus, praying in the flesh to the Spirit. He prayed, he said, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." He said, "I pray now, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." I don't know if we're getting this here today. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And yes, we may be citizens of the United States of America, but really we are aliens because we have a heavenly citizenship. And we've been called out of the world, and we've been given a new name, and we are now part of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God's word is law. And his word does not change. And Psalms 119 and 89 declares, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." His word is established. His word is true. I know there's a lot of people in this world that they don't live according to the word of God. And even some in the church, they struggle to submit to the word of God. But in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, his word is established. His word is forever settled. It's true, and God cannot lie. And so if we want to be in his kingdom, come on, somebody, if we want to be citizens of the kingdom of God, we've got to abide by his word, because that's how a kingdom works. Thank God for the freedoms that we have in the United States of America. I love this great country, but I'm also a citizen of the kingdom of God. And that means I've got to abide by his word. I've got to live by these principles. I've got to do what the king says ought to be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, in our text today, there was a widow in a certain city, and she comes to the judge, and she says, "Avenge me of my adversary." We don't know what it was. We don't know how she was being treated wrong. We don't know what her adversary was doing to drive her crazy, but she had had enough. And she comes to the judge, and he ignores her for a little while, but she kept on coming back, and she said, "Avenge me." What does that mean? It means make this right. Set this thing straight. Avenge me of mine adversary. And finally the judge said, "This woman, she is driving me crazy. I don't want to see her face. I don't want to hear her anymore. And because she troubleth me," he said, "I will avenge her." And the Lord said in Luke 18 and 7, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily."
To avenge, it means to make it right. To avenge means to set it straight. I want to tell you today, our prayers have power. Our prayers are mighty. They can change things. They can move mountains. They can change hearts and lives because our prayers have influence with heaven. And so, Pastor, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Sometimes the timing isn't right. Sometimes it's because of how we're praying. James 4 and 3 says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Sometimes we're praying our will. We've analyzed the situation. We've figured it all out. We have the plan, the perfect plan in mind, and we say, okay, God, I want you to answer my prayer like this. I want you to fix this situation like this. And here's an 11-point answer, God, to my troubling situation. And I want you to do all of this just like I think and just like I will. And when we're walking in the flesh, we can't see in the spirit. But sometimes we've got to leave the flesh behind and we've got to get in the spirit through prayer, so that our heart can be led of the Spirit and that our prayers can be led of the Spirit. You see, when you come to the Lord in prayer and you spend time in worship and in thanks, and you spend time asking God to forgive you and asking God to help you forgive others, that's an important part because you're leaving this earth behind and you've got to get into the Spirit to where you get in tune with God, so that when you pray about your need, you're not praying out of your flesh, but you're praying in the Spirit, and it's according to the will of God. If we want more of our prayers answered, we need to be sure we're praying in the will of God. How do we know what the will of God is? God's will always lines up with His Word. His will always lines up with His Word. And so we need to pray according to the will and the Word of God. And then when we're in a situation like that little widow, a situation that doesn't line up with the Word of God, something that doesn't match what the king decreed, then we can come and we can build our case to the righteous judge of heaven, and we stand on the Word of God, and we use our influence with heaven. And Jesus said that He will avenge us speedily. He will make it right. He will set it straight. That widow, she came before the judge and she said, this is not right. I ask you to make this right. I'm about to preach to somebody here today. I hope we can get this. When God has promised you something in His Word, when the king has decreed it, when the king has promised it, when God has promised us something in His Word, and when we are facing something that doesn't match up with His Word, we have the right to enter by faith with boldness into the courtroom of heaven. And we can ask the righteous judge to make things right, to set things straight, to avenge us. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. When God says that He is your healer, but the x-ray shows you something different, you have the right to go before the righteous judge and say, God, I'm asking you to make this right. When God says your children are a heritage from the Lord and it looks like they don't even care about the things of God, you have the right to walk in with boldness in the courtroom of heaven and say, God, I ask you to make this right. If you've been battling against fear and anxiety, but the Word of God says He's promised you peace, then you say, God, I ask you to avenge me, and I ask you to set my mind free, make it right. When you know something you're facing does not match up with the Word of God, you may not know all of the answers, but you can walk in the courtroom of heaven and say, God, I'm standing upon Your Word. I don't know all the answers, God, but I know this is not right. And I ask God that You would set things straight. I ask God that You would make this right for me. Shatoyo Kotarabahaya.
Amen. If you are dealing with something that goes against what the King said in His Word, you are not in this earth. You enter into the realm of the Spirit through prayer, and you go to the King of Kings that has decreed what His Word says, and you say, God, I stand upon Your promise today, and I ask that You would avenge me and make this right. Hallelujah. The enemy has done his best to convince you that your prayers don't work, that you don't have any power to change your situation, that you just have to deal with what you're going through. When somebody today, you need to realize your prayers have influence with heaven. Your prayer gives you power, power to stand on the Word of God and declare some things, power to stand up against the enemy, and heaven is going to back you up, power to declare life and healing and deliverance. You're not speaking out of your flesh, but you're speaking out of the authority that you have, because you are an ambassador of Christ. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, whatever the King says, that's what goes. Whatever the King decrees, that's what is truth. I know celebrities and sports stars might have the ability to influence millions of people to try a new product or a new idea, but I tell you today, you have influence with heaven, which can change anything. You can influence your world. You can have an eternal impact. More than just influencing someone to buy something, you deal in the realm of the spiritual and the supernatural and the eternal today. Is there anybody here today, you want to be an influencer of heaven? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, your word says, by your stripes we are healed. God, your word says, I'll be the head and not the tail. God, your word says, you'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. God, your word says, I'll have peace that passeth understanding. God, your word declares, your angels will encamp round about my home and round about my family. God, your word declares that the enemy is going to fall into his own trap. God, your word says, if I train my children up in the way that they should go, that they'll not depart from it. God, your word says that I can speak to this mountain and it shall be removed. God, your word says if I draw near to you, that you'll draw near to me. God, your word says that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. God, your word says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God, your word promises it. Amen. Your prayers have influence with heaven. Hallelujah. Admiral Yamamoto of Japan, after Pearl Harbor, he said, I'm afraid that we have just awakened a sleeping giant. The greatest sleeping giant of this day is the church, because we don't know the influence we have through prayer. God, we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up. You might not be able to sing. You might not be able to play an instrument. You might not feel like you have the ability to talk in public. You might not feel like you have talent and abilities that others might have in the church, but I want to tell you what, every one of us have influence with heaven through our prayer. And God wants somebody to realize today the enemy's doing his best to hold your prayers back. He's doing his best to keep you busy so that you do not pray. He's doing his best to keep you discouraged. But there are people under the sound of my voice right now. You have the authority and you have the power to stand on the Word of God and go before the throne of heaven and say, God, avenge me of my adversary. Make this right. Change my world. And when we enter into that realm of the Spirit, and when God answers prayer, it doesn't just affect the spirit world, but it affects this physical, natural world. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today in closing?
Tell me about influence with heaven, Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. You've got to stand on the word of God. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord, fire from heaven fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice in the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Too many of us are trying to do this in the natural. We're trying to make this transformation in the flesh. If we're going to have influence with heaven, we've got to get out of this earthly realm. And we've got to get out of this natural physical dimension. And we've got to get into the Spirit. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. Does anybody want to get in the Spirit? Does anybody want to stand on the promises of God and say, God, you have promised me healing. You have promised my family salvation. You have promised me peace in my mind. You have promised me protection for my home. You have promised me blessings in my finances. And I stand on the Word of God. And God, I'm asking heaven to avenge me. God, help us to hear this calling to prayer. Help us to hear this calling to have heavenly influence. Help us, Lord God, to answer this call to prayer today. I pray that you would move our hearts, God. I pray that you would open our minds and our understanding, Lord, so that we can declare it and it be so, so that we can have the backing of heaven behind us and we can change our world for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lauren, I want you to come help me just a second. It's a few years ago. We had a situation that Lauren was facing and our family because of her being our daughter, but I went to my pastor. Brother Daryl McCoy has been my pastor for quite a few years, and Sister McCoy and I went to him and told him about the situation and said, we need a miracle. And he did something that at first I was just like, I wouldn't do that on my own, but my pastor told me to do it. So, step up here on this altar. She was a lot smaller then. She was just little. Had much smaller feet. Not that her feet are big, but he took her and he said, Lauren, I want you to stand on the Word of God. And we prayed. And she may not even remember this. But I want to tell you, in that situation that she was facing,
God worked a miracle. God worked a miracle. Now, Lauren, not everybody knows it, but you've still got a situation that's related to that, and we need a miracle in that. And I didn't even think about that till right then, but we're going to pray that God works. And there's some of you today that you've been dealing with what you're going through, and you've been putting up with your adversary, and you've just been just going through the motions because you think it can't be changed, and you think you don't have power, and you think you have to just put up with it. But I want to tell you today, you have influence with heaven. And I feel this in my spirit today. If you would come and you would stand on the word of God, you don't literally have to stand up, but stand on it in your heart. If you will stand on the promises of God, I feel like today God is saying, I want to back you up. And I want to give you influence in the courtroom of heaven. And I want to transform your world. Come on, is there anybody here today? You'd come and you declare, God, you promised me peace. You promised me healing. You promised me deliverance. You promised me blessings. And I stand upon your promises right now. In Jesus' name, God, I ask you to avenge me. I ask you to make it right. I ask you to provide. I ask you to heal. I ask you to deliver. Come on, would you come right now in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. Would bring healing to her family. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you would move the mountain today. I pray that you would avenge me, Lord. I pray that you would set it right. I pray that you would open the windows of heaven. I pray that you would bless in Jesus' name.
I've seen you move. I've seen you move.